Yes, g'day everyone. It is Friday, May 3, the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And it is fantastic to be at the William Farrer Hotel here in Wagga Wagga this morning. On Gold Cup Day, they had the cow cutter, more than $100,000 in the pool here last night. I think my voice is just holding on, but we'll get there. Pup's with us for half the day in India. Loz is here with me in Wagga. Lozza, great to be back here in the Riverina. Great atmosphere here at the Farrer last night. Cracking day for the town plate yesterday, and we're ready to rumble for Cup Day today.
Yeah, morning, Mido. Morning, Pup. Morning, everybody. Yeah, wonderful night here at the William Farrer. The renovations that they've done to this hotel have been magnificent. There was plenty of people here last night. There's plenty of people in town, obviously, for the two-day carnival. Races were on yesterday and again today. It looks like it's going to be tremendous weather. Watched a bit of footy last night. South City, they started well.
12-0.
Couldn't hang on though, could they? The poor old Bunnies. A couple of injuries along the way to a couple of their young stars in Jaya Gray and Dean Hawkins, but they were just overrun in the end by a Penrith side who weren't at their best but just did enough to win. And isn't it amazing you say did enough to win and they won, what, 42 points to 12?
Yeah, they can just turn it on like that, can't they, the Premiers? Pup, over in India, back with us this morning. How are you, champion? What's doing?
Morning. Happy Friday. Hope Wagga's good to you. You sound a little croaky, Mido.
Yeah, just a little bit under the weather, but we'll come good, pup. We'll warm up.
Good
it's not
hear,
what
buddy.
You think, trust
Everything's
me.
Everything's good. Lots of, unfortunately, lots of cricket, lots of good cricket. Paddy Cummins' Sunrisers had a tight win last night against the Rajasthan Royals, who were coming first. So that's a big win. The Australian World Cup squad picked the other day. A lot of talk over here about young Jake Fraser-McGurk not getting selected in that 15. That's probably the talking point. And I guess the other thing, I think a lot of people are just asking why the Australian selectors are not taking much notice. So I think in the squad of 15, there's eight players that will go to the World Cricket. And then obviously World Cup form for some of the guys, IPL form for some of the guys leading into the World Cup hasn't been probably what they want, thank God. So fingers crossed. Hopefully they can get it right before that World Cup.
Yeah, we'll dig into that World Cup squad and the Aussie performers over there in the IPL as well. Just very keen to get your take on that World Cup squad, and we'll do so throughout the morning, pup. But we'll get stuck into this game last night, Loz. So 42-12 with the Bunnies leading 12-0. They trailed 18-12 at halftime. I guess their second half summed up when Cody Walker kicked the ball dead. Dylan Edwards sprints 20 metres, or to do the 20-metre tap, finds Taylor Made, he runs 80 metres.
Yeah, it wasn't great looking if you're a South Sydney supporter. Watching that, there was just no effort or urgency to get back there and try and defuse it. But you knew that South were going to come out with plenty of emotion after the week that they've had. But unfortunately, they just couldn't sustain it for a long period. So in their game, there was no urgency, there was no desire, I didn't think, for longer periods. And they needed to sustain it for long periods if they're to be competitive in this competition. You just can't pick and choose when to do it in the NRL. You've got to do it all the time. So, unfortunately, South Sydney have got a lot to learn. And regardless of who's coaching the side, they need to be able to be better than what they were last night and what they've been to start the season.
On the back page of the Daily Telegraph today, 3-year carrot is the headline. Benny makes 70s cool again. And on the back page of the Herald as well, South's hope long deal will lure Bennett back is the headline there. And there it is on the back page of the Australian as well. South's to go all in on Bennett with $2.5 million deals. So all these reports indicating that Wayne Bennett will be offered a 3-year deal, Loz. These numbers, so $2.5 million, so you're talking about $800 to $850 a season or thereabouts, which is reportedly what he's on the Dolphins now. Talks will certainly heat up after the Dolphins North Queensland game in Townsville tomorrow night. It would mean he's past 77 years of age when his contract would end in 2027. So Wayne Bennett certainly, he said, I want to coach on, and he wants to coach on not just for a year or two, three. What do you make of it all?
Well, whatever, Wayne's got the drive and the ability to keep going. He's got so much to offer the game. So I think you just take it over that period of time, see how he's going, and then make a decision at the end of his contract. You don't rush into doing anything with Wayne. He might be able to go into his 80s, but to be 75 starting next year, he's one of the oldest coaches in professional sport to continue on. And imagine if he won a competition, you know, at that age, you know, you know, he'll be 77, nearly 78 when he finishes his 3-year term at South Sydney. That's an amazing, amazing career Wayne Bennett has had. And he's had success at most places he's been to. And that's one of the reasons why South are wanting to bring him back. And I'm just reading here in the paper, he's one of the oldest active coaches in world sport. In 2002, the Chicago White Sox, they had a manager retired at 77 after 33 years in American baseball.
Yeah, the great Tony La Russa.
Yeah. But Wayne's been coaching for a long period of time. 87 was his first year. 87,
you,
first year
you
in charge
just
of the Raiders.
First
just starting my career. So it's amazing to think that he was in charge, start of my career, and I've now been retired 24 years.
He's still going.
He's still going.
Yeah, incredible,
wow.
Isn't it? There's a Parramatta element to this, of course, as well. So the Herald has said that Parramatta have decided not to go down the Wayne Bennett path. They had scheduled a board meeting. They had a scheduled board meeting, sorry, on Wednesday. And by the way, they've also got a coach under contract as well. And we've got the Tamworth heel here saying, I've just read the article referring to the Para board turning down the approach from Bennett to give Arthur more time. Are they serious? Have they started to follow NRL? We're talking about the greatest coach in history versus a bloke whose finals record is appalling. The worst thing about this for us Eels fan, there's no way for us to get rid of the board. They should be about winning a premiership, not cuddling an 11-year coach who can't get it done. We will be Eels fans long after the board. Mark O'Neill and Brad Arthur have ruined our club. So Pack, yeah, basically tells them to exit the building, says the Tamworth Eel. So interesting to see Para fans' reaction to this. But as it stands, you've got a coach who, you know, I know things aren't going that great at the moment, but you've got no Mitchell Moses, no Clint Gutherson.
Yeah.
And he did take you to a grand final 18 months ago.
Yeah, and I thought there were signs of fight last week against Manly. The previous week against the Dolphins, they were horrible in the second half against the Dolphins, and that applied more pressure to Brad Arthur. But it is a results-driven industry, and if you haven't had success for 18 months, 2 years, then the dogs will be barking. So Brad would be well aware of that. I think Brad is a very good coach. He'll pick up another job somewhere in the NRL. But there's a lot of Parramatta supporters who have the same sort of sentiment as that text messenger because they want to see their side have success, and they haven't had success in terms of a grand final win since 86. So I understand their frustration, and I understand that Brad needs to win, but I think you've got to give him a little bit of slack, given that he's missing his key halfback. And, you know, you miss your key halfback if you haven't got a good system like a Penrith. You can struggle. And I think Parramatta are doing that at the moment.
On the back page of the Courier Mail this morning, Haas knee pain, star prop in doubt for Roosters blockbuster. In fact, there's a few changes or bit of team news for this game tonight at Suncorp Stadium. So Payne Haas in doubt. Jararea Hargreaves is out for the Roosters. Daniel Tupou will miss again with a knee injury. Ezra Mam and Selwyn Cobbo are back. There's some concern over Katoni Staggs as well, though Kevin Walters said that he is likely to play. But no Payne Haas. Does that change your thinking at all for this game tonight if he indeed is out of the side for the Broncos loss? But I guess no JWH sort of offsets it to an extent anyway.
Yeah, I think this will be a close game. Geez, can the Broncos win if those two don't play? I think I'd be in the Roosters camp if Payne Haas and Katoni Staggs don't play.
I think I'd favour the Roosters to win this game. But it's a big opportunity for young Sam Walker as well, going back to Queensland, trying to replicate the game he had last weekend in that Anzac Day game where he was absolutely brilliant. The Broncos are trying to build up a bit of momentum and a bit of confidence, but they welcome back Ezra Mann. And he was sensational a couple of weeks ago. That was his best game of the season. And also Cobbo, so they've still got some strike. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be tight. But if those two guys are ruled out today for the Broncos, I think I would prefer to be on the Roosters.
Certainly going to be a cracking game. The market with Tab has the Broncos $1.44, the Roosters are $2.80 and plus $7.50.
They've drifted the Roosters
at the line.
They've drifted out a touch.
They have.
They were $2.70 or $2.75 yesterday. Yeah. They're now out to $2.80, and that's off the back of obviously Hargreaves. But that market will change if Haas and Staggs are both ruled out.
Oh, yeah, certainly will. Now, Pup, on the back page of The Australian today, under the headline, Marsh quiet on Smith, loud on Cup outlook. So he says he hasn't touched a bat in a while, and he said he hasn't. You know, when he talks to Steve Smith, it's not really about cricketing stuff. But what do you make of it all with Steve Smith in particular? You know, one of our generational talents not being picked in the T20 World Cup squad for Australia?
I think Smitty probably not getting picked up in the IPL probably played a part as well, buddy, to be honest, because he just didn't have any cricket under his belt. I think they've obviously made a clear decision that they're going in a different direction now. I don't think you'll see Smitty playing T20 cricket again. You'd imagine after the World Cup campaign, they'll probably go to that new generation. You know, Jake Fraser-McGurk, you're probably seeing the team full-time. There's a handful of young players as well that are loving their 2020 cricket at the moment. So I think Smitty now has the, you know, he'll obviously keep playing test cricket, and then if he wants to keep playing one-day cricket, he'll do that. But I think this might be the end of the road for him in T20 cricket. Monday cricket, if he wants to continue doing that, he can do that. But, yeah, look, I think what they've done, the selectors, they've held strong with their international T20 cricket. So the guys that have been involved in that and even one-day cricket, they've sort of, over the last 12 months, worked out what they feel their best Australian T20 cricket team is and lineup, and they probably haven't flinched too much on that. It looks like they haven't looked at IPL form much at all. Where you look at other teams, someone like India, for example, they've done the complete opposite. I think they've picked their squad based on how guys have been going in the IPL. So that's interesting that two countries see it very different. But can't blame the selectors. It sort of seems to me like they already had a fair idea of who they were going to pick, and they've held strong on that. And obviously Steve Smith, unfortunately for him, the selectors haven't gone that way.
Also on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, I wanted to put my mental health first is the headline. Excuse me, it's in regards to Ollie Florent. So another gun at the Swans has re-signed. Florent penned a five-year extension coming after Errol Goulden and James Rowbottom re-signed for 4 years. He simply doesn't want to be anywhere else, the 25-year-old, and he didn't even ask who else was interested. So they've pretty much only got Logan McDonald and Will Haywood to go to try and tie down going forward as far as their young guns are concerned there at the Swans. Gee, this is a big game tomorrow, Loz. I can't wait to get home and watch this tomorrow between the Swans and the Giants. Unfortunately, the forecast in Sydney not that good. We could see some serious wet weather footy in Sydney over the course of the weekend. But considering the build-up this week, it all started with Sam Taylor saying the Swans are a bit smug. Has lit a nice little fire and undercurrent to this game between two genuine premiership contenders, it looks like.
Oh, most definitely. And throw in the fact that on the Giants' website, they said they were playing South of Melbourne. This weekend, there was no reference to the Sydney Swans. So I like a bit of rivalry in sport. And if there's genuine hate between these two teams, I think that just adds another layer to it. But they are two wonderful teams. They're two teams that are capable of winning this year's competition, regardless of the result on Saturday. It's a great time slot, 1:45 on a Saturday afternoon. And you mentioned the rain. Yeah, that might knock it around a bit, but because of the rivalry, because of the contest and the way both teams go about it, it'll be interesting to see whether one team changes their style or they just go all out with what they've been doing. And by that, I mean the Giants like to play this fast brand of football where they move the ball, but it might be difficult in these type of conditions. And the Swans, we know how good they are at stoppages and, you know, getting in people's faces and really controlling the game and playing at their speed. So, fascinating contest, some great duels all over the paddock. And, you know, the Giants just flexed their muscles a little bit last week against the Brisbane Lions, didn't they? You know, a lot of people, I know the Lions aren't playing that great this year, but coming into the season, plenty of people had high expectations from them. And they went into that contest without Taylor, Toby Green, Steve Cornelia, and still got the job done. And that's a pretty big trio to have out of any football team. But when you smash a team like the Lions with those guys missing, says you've got plenty of depth.
Yeah, certainly does. Can't wait for that one. The market's been, excuse me, very tight all week. And the Giants, yeah, they're still outsiders. I thought they might, it might get to just about parity, but they're $2. Sydney $1.80. Slight favourites there for the match at the SCG tomorrow. Just also on the back page of the Herald, a story about Max Jorgensen, Loz, who's being sent back to play for Randwick this weekend. The Hurricanes play the Waratahs this afternoon or later today in Wellington, where the Waratahs are $11. The Hurricanes are $1.03. But Ian Payton's written a story here just sort of saying, well, pointing to players and a lot of all-back players as well who went and played in the Under-20 World Cup. And, you know, Max has had some serious injuries very early in his rugby career, and maybe this would be good for him in the long run. And the Wallabies coaches shouldn't rush him to be, I guess, the saviour, so to speak, this early in his career, yeah, considering the injuries he's had.
Yeah, he's not the saviour, but he's certainly a wonderful player. And obviously, young Max, he's the future of the franchise, but also there's been a lot of pressure placed on him at a young age, and they're not going great. So I think it's not a bad thing for letting him go back to shoot shield and let him rediscover that football that we know he can play. Like when he first came into the Waratah system, he was outstanding, you know. And it looks as though the shackles have sort of been placed upon him and he's playing with a bit more pressure and, you know, a bit like what Sam Walker went through, you know, last year when he got dropped from the Roosters. You know, they're different style of players, you know. You've got to let them learn on the run too. They're going to make errors. Young blokes are going to make errors. So you got to cop that. It's like Reece Walsh. We spoke about Reece Walsh last year, and we've already spoken about him this year. He's going to make errors, but it's a fine line between how you coach him, because you want him to be a risk taker. But you got to make him understand that the risk needs to be more in his favour than the opposition's favour when he's thinking about making that choice. So it's got to be more than, you know, 60-40 his way rather than going a 50-50 all the time, because he can place his team under pressure. That's what young blokes go through. Walsh, you know, Sam Walker, young Max is going through that as well. So I think it's not a bad thing for him to go back there and just have a bit of fun, play with some mates and enjoy his football and get some of that freedom back and, you know, that love for the game.
I think it's
and
a good thing.
I think it is, yeah.
He probably might not think it.
But no one likes being relegated, do you? Yeah, no one likes being told they're going back to the bench to play. No one likes being told they've got to go back to reserve grade. But I think going back to this environment, shoot shield, just to get out there and play your natural game, get a bit of confidence and away you go. It's not going to hurt him, put it that way.
It is 6 o'clock. Big morning ahead on the show. And I reckon we'll take some of our listeners' tips and put them on Bet's Friends, Loz, because the multi is having a rest.
Well, Finchop, he's back.
Finchop will get his on because
he's done two in
a
row.
On a heater.
He's flying, Finchop. So send through your text and let me know what horses you want on Bet's Friends and we'll pick out five or six of them to put up there.
We'd love Wagga Mail today because we're there and we need it.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got Renaissance Woman in the cup.
Did you buy it?
For Bjerg.
The Calcutta?
No, I wish I did.
Yeah.
I'll have to borrow your wallet for that. So send them in, 0419 767 272, 1353 53 on the text line. Give us a call, 1353 53, 0419 767 272 on the text line. Just some scores. So, English Premier League this morning. We'll speak to Mossy later. Huge weekend ahead with the A-League semi-finals as well, the A-League W Grand Final, and, well, the title race. It's getting right down to the wire as far as Manchester City and Arsenal are concerned. But as far as the top four race, Tottenham, well, they need to go on a run of wins, and it's not looking good for them because they're down 2-0 at Stamford Bridge this morning against Chelsea. So Angers Spurs in trouble. 10 minutes plus stoppage time left in that match. We've got Europa League semi-finals this morning as well. Marseille and Atalanta is 1-1, and Leverkusen have a 1-0 lead at Roma. But last night in the NRL, it was 42-12, the Panthers beating the Bunnies. And in the AFL, the Adelaide Crows got a much-needed win against Port Adelaide in the showdown there at Adelaide Oval, and the margin was 30 points in favour of the Crows there last night. Loss, what about our man Cookie as well? New South Wales Origin centre and also South fullback these days. He can do it all. In game 200 as well. And a huge congratulations to him. And you can see, you know, he wasn't a happy man after the game when he was interviewed on Channel 9. But he should be very proud of what he's achieved in his career.
Oh, most definitely. 200 first-grade games, a wonderful achievement. They said during the broadcast last night he'd actually started a game as a fullback. I think they said in 2017. But it's not his preferred position. He hasn't played there for a long period of time. And just through necessity last night, he had to go back there. Jai Gray got injured. I think it was Tungo. He could be in a little bit of trouble for a hip drop. Mm. And then Dean Hawkins off a kickoff tore his quad. So they were in disarray, losing two key players. I mean, a halfback and a fullback, it's hard to cover when you lose those injuries. So it was always going to be a difficult night for South when that occurred. But there was effort areas in their game that still weren't there. You know, you just got to be able to compete for long periods in this NRL competition, because if you don't, you get found out. And that's what the good teams do. They just compete longer and harder than the other teams. You just can't pick and choose when you want to do it. And that was on display last night when Dylan Edwards allowed that ball to roll dead at the end goal. And then he picked it up. He raced back to the 20, tapped, found Taylor May, who ran 80 metres to score. And South was still getting back on side. Just unacceptable areas of the game. And you've got to get those right before you get anything else right in your game. I think we wax lyrical about it all the time. Effort. You've got to come with the effort. That's what's expected of you. You might be beaten on skill, and most coaches accept that at times. But if you get beaten on effort, that's when they get filthy.
So, yeah, gee, what do they do now? Well, I guess Latrell will be just straight back in at fullback, loss.
Yes.
Back next week.
Yeah, he'll be back.
They've
got to look for a half too. So it might be...
Is it the Walker, Jackie Whiten combo?
It might be Walker, Whiten and Mitchell combo. That's what it's looking like at this stage. They wanted to give those two guys a run, but obviously, with the injuries, Lachlan Ilias is out, so he won't come back into the team. So I'm assuming that's the way they will go, and that's what a lot of people wanted to see. So we'll get an opportunity to see that and how they perform.
Gee, with that personnel dramas, I mean, you still got like world class players in Latrell and Jack Whiten, but gosh, they've got some personnel dramas, don't they? Really?
Well, you just look at the way they're defending. You know, going into this round, they conceded, 50 or 60 points more than any other side?
Yeah.
And last night's hiding's not going to help them either. So defensively, they're very poor. But they started the game with a lot of emotion, a lot of intent. They looked good. The Penrith were on the back foot. But then when things went against them, that's when they started to lose their way. And that's what happens with teams when they're struggling. You know, they're struggling for form and struggling for confidence.
Now, we are at the William Farrer in Wagga, if you're just tuning in. Did you just find some ties on the floor over there?
Yes,
as well?
I found three ties. So I don't know what happened here last night. They're all in different positions. And they're all in corners. So I don't know what that means.
Okay. Mm. Well, you can read into that what you will. Yeah. And how about this one as well, pup? There's often an airport
one
issue.
One was behind a curtain. Anyway.
There's often an airport issue with Loz. So, Loz at the airport yesterday had a hot leg. Tell us what that was all about, Loz.
What?
He had a hot leg.
Yeah, well, I was coming through security. And you know how they do the security check? And they scan you.
Mm-hmm.
The guy said, have you got something on your leg? I said, oh, I wish. But then he said, righto, come out here. Come out here. And he had to pat me down. He said, you've got a hot leg. And I thought, oh, thank you for that. But my leg came up all red.
Right.
And I'm just wondering whether it might be my...
Oh, no.
Because it's my crook knee.
No, okay.
Like the inflammation or arthritis.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, here he goes. Here
I don't
goes.
Know what
Straight
it was.
For a blood test.
But then I asked him. I said, mate, what's that? But he did the old pat down. But, pup, you'd like this one. You would like this one.
Tell me.
I actually was on the plane yesterday. I was sitting next to my great man, Middo. I get a tap on the shoulder. And it was, excuse me. I said, yes. And it was a lovely young lady. And I said, oh, do I know you? She said, no. And I said, all right. And she said, oh, I know Jared. I said, all right. She said, do you mind if I can sit next to Jared and you go and sit in my seat?
Yeah, well, he's already told this completely correctly.
So,
and let me just tell you straight away, it's my mate's wife. It's my mate's wife.
Wait. I'm telling the story. You haven't told me any
but
of this
I know
yet.
That you're going to...
What?
Just... You're just going to say some outrageous things.
Well, anyway, I duly obliged and was a good travelling partner and a good mate, so I moved seat and I watched them laugh and I was watching them talking and I saw good body language. Oh. Then they were ordering champagne.
Oh. It's champagne.
You're getting along famously.
Qantas link.
Anyway...
Were you flying to Europe or Wagga?
Well, mate, I can only report on what I saw.
Well, what you saw was about 40%
love at first
true.
Sight.
So, I wasn't even sitting next to Loz on the plane.
It was your mate's missus.
Yeah, it was one of my very good. In fact, it was my best mate's brother's wife. They live in Wagga.
Oh,
yeah, the old best mate's wife. Best mate's brother's wife.
And a lovely lady.
I've heard that before.
Yeah,
worked at the ATC for years. And it was great to catch up. And we'll be catching up with a lot of people we know here yesterday. I love you just don't let anything pass you by, do you?
I didn't even ask you about it because I thought, I'll keep that up my sleeve.
She's always been, she's quite forward.
And I wasn't going to say anything because you just reminded me. And I was going to ask you off air.
Oh, yeah, I probably didn't give you all the background, did I? No. My best mate's brother's wife, and they live here in Wagga.
Right.
They're both from Wagga originally as well.
Hey, mate, you don't have to justify it to me or the listeners.
Like, but you're there going body language and all this rubbish.
Well, I'm an expert at body language. I can read it.
Oh, dearie me. You might be onto something here, Loz, on the text line. Hey, Loz, happens to me on the ankle that was broken years ago, says Batman from Des Moines.
Well, there you go. It might have something to do with my leg. I'm assuming it has something to do with
leg.
My knee. Yeah, the hot leg. Yeah. He said, excuse me, you got a hot leg. And then he showed me it was all red from the knee down. So I'm assuming that's what it is, Mido.
You ever had a hot leg, pup?
No, I've never been told I've got a hot leg. Put it that way. Hot back. Bit of disc degeneration, but I touch wood. I normally have a lot of luck going through security and customs. I've been one of the lucky ones with bags, your luggage arriving and things like that. So yeah, long may that continue, because there's nothing more frustrating than having to get undressed at security because something's buzzing or turning up somewhere and your bags don't arrive.
I'll tell you what I've done, Pupster, over the last two trips I've been on to Adelaide and Wagga. I've done the carry-on only.
Carry-on only.
And I'm telling you, you're onto something, because that is the best way to go.
Oh, yeah.
If you can limit what you bring,
the only
it's
way
so
to travel,
easy.
Buddy.
And more so when you get back home to Sydney. You just walk off and go rather than waiting.
Straight to your car or straight to a taxi and home. Yes.
So you've put me onto something there, mate, and I'm going to stick with it. As much as I can. There you go.
It's not hard as well, because you always seem to overpack. So if you get a carry-on, you just, whatever you can fit, that's all you can take. And everywhere you travel, just about these days, you can buy whatever you need when you get there, if you're short something.
Well, mate, I'm telling you, that's me from now on.
Just
take the carry-on.
Did you back a winner yesterday, Loz?
No. I got two tips. They both lost. And then I got one from Marlo, because Marlo tipped me two. They both lost, and then he tipped one at 10-1.
He did.
And what happens? I didn't back it?
Yeah, well, I was with you, Loz, over in WA. Pinjarra, he gave us some mail. But the prodigal son for Craig Widdowson and Jason Lyon won the town plate here yesterday from Wizard of Oz for Denny Williams, which was, 90-1. Gravina Loz, which is what I was on. Jeez, I need to go back and look at the replay, but Tommy had to weave back to the inside. I don't know. I'm sure he must have been held up there at some stage, but she was motoring home into third. So that was the town plate yesterday. Now, you mark it this morning as far as the Wagga Gold Cup today is concerned.
Who's favourite?
Race 7 on the card, so to jump at a quarter past 4, and it is Faulkner Park at $3.40 from the wide gate, from Renaissance Woman at $7. I'm told Bjorn might even be driving down and back because the horse galloped so well earlier this week. Macrum at $8 for the Hayes boys. Cliff House, the local horse for Tim Donnelly. Denny Beasley rides, also an $8 chance. Political Debate for Chris Waller and Tommy Berry, $8.50, 12 and longer the rest, in a very competitive Gold Cup here this afternoon. By the way, no, I didn't have 700 schooners last night. Loz, can you please vouch for me? This is where I need you.
I will vouch for you, Jared. I will vouch for you. No, you were very, very well contained last night.
I only had three, maybe four.
Actually, I didn't think
but
you had
the voice,
that many.
But the voice... It was wavering.
No, no, no. We were very afternoon. We were very good yesterday. I didn't have a drink. And Middo, I reckon you had... Well, there you go. I didn't know you had three or four.
Yeah,
I thought
no,
you might
that,
have
that
one
was
or
it.
Two.
Oh, mate, I was home very early.
We went home.
What's
the footy?
Footy? Yeah. So I haven't seen what the final Calcutta pool was. I'm told 111,000, though.
Right.
But here at the Farrah last night. But the renovations they've done here, Fraser Horton of Harvest Hotels will join us later this morning. And it's just a cracking punters pub, isn't it, too, Loz? Like, you've got the Punters Club, which Barney still has a big, big involvement in. They've had horses in the Kosciuszko, the Punters Club here, haven't they?
They have. I think they won one year. They won in the wet. I can't remember what the name of the horse was.
Yeah.
It was the year that Red Zeal won. The name escapes me. But they've done really well over the years. But the Renos here have been fantastic, Minnow. It's a big pub too, isn't it? You know, and then you've got the outside area with that fire pit, the big screens up outside. A lovely meal. So if you're coming to Wagga, make sure you get to the William Farrah Hotel. And today will be massive again in town. Plenty of people around. There was plenty of people out and about last night. This would be their biggest, well, it is their biggest race meeting of the year, and there'll be, 10,000-12,000 at the races today?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Maybe
yeah,
more.
Maybe up to 15.
Yeah.
With that many people coming from all over the place. Big town, Wagga.
There was a lot of people we met last night from all over the joint. A lot of punters clubs, too. A lot of punters clubs down here, so I'm sure everyone will enjoy it.
Hey, boys, just want to shout out our mate's business in Wagga. Grass cutting maintenance. My tips today, please, for the Wagga Cup is Renaissance Woman Clay from Newey. I mean, you've got to be kidding. I better proofread some of these text messages, Loz.
Right.
Loz may want to get his eyes checked also at the doctor, says Ryan. Okay.
There's a lot of ones here you can't read, Mita.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. I'm happy to read them. I'm happy to answer them. But I'd be chucked off air.
Loz, take Wayne Bennett out of the equation. Who would be in the lineup to coach Souths, do you think? Enjoy Cup Day. That's from Berger.
Souths. Well,
if
here's the thing.
It wasn't Wayne Bennett.
I think they need an experienced coach. Mm. Souths.
Well, basically, Blake Solly agrees with you based on what he said. Yeah. He said, we need someone more directive than a player-led
well,
coach.
Well, the only coach that I can think of that's had success after Wayne has left a club is Tim Sheens. And Tim Sheens had coached for 4 years at Penrith before he went to the Raiders. When Wayne left the Broncos, it was Ivan Henjak, and Ivan was inexperienced. Then he went to the Dragons, and I think it was Steve Price that took over. So, and they didn't have a lot of great success there. Then he went to Newcastle. Rick Stone took over, and the same thing happened. Mm. Then he went to Brisbane, and Siebes took over. And then he ended up getting sacked from the Broncos. And then he went to South with Jason Demetriou as his successor. So everyone that's gone after Wayne has been a young coach, inexperienced coach that haven't really had the opportunity to be in the grind week in, week out, running their own teams at the highest level. So that, to me, suggests if it's not Wayne, you've got to go for a hard-nosed coach. Now, I don't know who that would be. There's none on the market, so to speak, that I can think of. But possibly if Shane Flanagan was available this year, or Michael Maguire, there you
Madge.
Go. Madge.
Yep. Well, he's not available yet.
But he's not available. Mm. He's coaching State of Origin. So he'd possibly be, if it wasn't Wayne Bennett, would be the guy that I'd go for.
Bell Flyer was that horse, according... Was it Bell Flyer? The one that caused the Oscar on the wet?
Nah.
I'll have to go through it during
doesn't
the
year's
break.
Doesn't ring a bell, Bell Flyer, doesn't it?
No multi this week. We'll take tips for Bet's friends, though. My best of Wagga today, race 4, number 5, Love Shuck. Looks very hard to beat. The danger is number 13, chasing a quid. Have the Quinella as a saver, says the Canberra Chicken. Sending that one through. So keep the coming. 0419-767-272. 13:53:53, and last night, Pup, at the IPL, just seeing there was a one-run margin as the Sunrisers Hyderabad, 3 for 201, beat the Rajasthan Royals, 7 for 200, and the Aussie impact in this game, Travis Head, 58 off 44 deliveries at the top of the order for Sunrisers, and his teammate, Paddy Cummins, impact with the ball, 4 overs, 2 for 34 there last night.
Yeah, big win for Paddy's team. Paddy bowled brilliantly, certainly at the death as well. They didn't only needed, and might have needed 17 off the last three overs, which unheard of that you lose that game from that position. Certainly Rajasthan as well, a team that's on top of the table, playing really well, got lots of experience, and weren't bowled out. So, yeah, big win for Paddy's team. They're just outside the four at the moment. So every game's really important for them at the minute to make sure they're winning and try and get into the top four. But yeah, lots of Aussies doing well over here, Middo, which has been great to watch.
Tottenham's top four hopes not looking good. They've lost 2-0 to Chelsea this morning at Stamford Bridge. And I believe Spurs have Liverpool on Monday morning. I'm pretty sure. Yes, they do. Monday morning at Anfield. So we'll do a full Premier League preview, A-League Finals preview with Mossy later this morning, of course. Pups joining us from over in India. Brad Rosen isn't too far away. And thank you for all the texts too. And as we hear at the William Farrer and in Wagga and the Punters Club, and they had a horse. Well, they had a horse in the Kosciuszko, Loz. They won a slot. It was the year, I think, Bell Flyer won.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that their horse in the slot won, but they used a lot of money from their punters club to back Awesome Pluck the place, and they
That's
won a
the
fortune.
One. Awesome Pluck. And you know what?
Third in the wet.
But they backed Awesome Pluck to run a place, and I don't know what price it was, into Red Zell to win.
That's what it was, yes.
It was into Red Zell to win. That was the bet.
They won a Mozza. They won a fortune. Between a lot of people, but they won a Mozza.
Yeah.
So it is one of the better run punters clubs you'll find here at the Farrer. And great to be here today. Pup, so the 2020 squad overall, and us going with experience, and naturally the Jake Fraser-McGurk non-selection is the one that's raised eyebrows, but it's the old who, but who do you leave out? I mean, what did you make of the squad overall? And, well, because we've seen Glenn Maxwell stand himself down at one stage during this IPL. David Warner as well, like his form, where's that at? And even Cameron Green's been a bit hot and cold, and Fraser McGurk's been irresistible.
Yeah, it's interesting. But like I said, I think they've taken IPL form out of the equation with their selection. If they were going to look at the IPL, then Jake Fraser-McGurk's a no-brainer. For a number of reasons, though. Yes, he scored a couple of 50s, but it's the way he's playing. He scored two 50s off 15 balls. So Travis Head's probably been the other standout over here in the IPL as well from an Australian perspective. Can you imagine having to bowl to Jake Fraser-McGurk and Travis Head at the World Cup on wickets that are going to be quite similar? They're going to be slow. They're going to be low over in the West Indies. So, you know, I thought that Jake would have been selected in the 15. The other thing he offers is a right-left-hand opening combination. So if they did open with the spinner, you haven't got two guys that bat the same way. So that's an advantage as a batting unit. And I still think you could have kept David Warner in the squad and in the team, because I think Davey's a good enough player of spin to bat at number three or number four. And it offers us a left-hander in our top six as an option as well. We're very right-handed dominant with the squad we've gone for. So, you know, you're right. You can only pick 15. 17 doesn't go into 15. And who do you leave out? We've gone with... we've gone with Mitchell Marsh, who's captain, Marcus Stoinis and Cameron Green. So three fast bowling all-rounders. I wasn't sure what they were going to do there. The other thing we've gone with is Inglis and Wade. So two keepers in our 15 as well. So I wasn't sure if they're going to pick two keepers. Now, I'm hearing they're also going to take some players outside of the squad because the tour's to the West Indies, which is so far away. They're going to take a handful of players over there and just have them in the country in case there is an injury or they, you know, they want to bring someone in. The problem with the World Cup squad, you have to rule someone out to bring them in. And I've also heard, I think with the World Cup squad of 15, you get a bit more time. So you announce your 15 now, but I think that's for administration stuff to get things organised and put it into place. But I think there's another date. I don't know what the date is where you can still make changes if you wanted to. So I'd imagine if Jake Fraser-McGurk goes 100-100 in these next two IPL games, then there's every chance they could make a change to that squad. But look, I can understand where the selectors are coming from. I don't mind the age thing. It's a World Cup. You pick your best team. I don't care how old or young you are. But I think we'll see after this World Cup campaign some changes to the Australian playing 11 for sure. I think you'll see some youngsters come in because we've got a number of guys over 30 back end of their career, and this will probably be their last campaign. The other thing as well, we've got a lot of guys in the 15 that are not playing cricket at the moment. That's my only worry. Hopefully they get enough training, and in the lead-up games or our preparation at the start of the tournament, we get some cricket under their belt so they're in form come quarter-final time.
Having said that then, Pup, and I know it's different conditions to India where this World Cup will be played, does that place India at such a great advantage, the fact that they'll have a number of their players playing in that T20 over there in the IPL?
I think playing cricket, there's an advantage definitely, Loz. So even the Australians that are playing over here now, they'll go to the Caribbean a lot more confident than if you're just at home training. I think match time is really important. Look, India have gone a very different way to us with selection. They've picked four spinners in their squad, so I think they're backing spin to win. I think you'll see India will probably play three spinners in their 11, where Australia's probably going to play just Zampa and use the part-time spin of Travis Head and Glenn Maxwell, I would imagine. Mm. We've got Ashton Agar in the squad. I love that. I think it's great that Ash is back in the team. Ash provides an option to open the bowling as well as a left-arm orthodox if he is to be picked as that second spinner. But, yeah, look, it looks to me like India's attitude around how they think they can win the World Cup is very different to Australia. Australia is definitely more fast bowler dominant than what India is.
Well, talking about fast bowlers, I probably shouldn't be excited to see him, but Jofra Archer's been named in that England squad, so he's been like off the scene for a while, but when he was playing, there wasn't a fast bowler. Well, there didn't seem to be someone that captured everyone's attention like Jofra because of what he could do.
Yeah, He's brilliant, mate. He's an entertainer. He's extremely athletic. Like, you even watch him in the field, mate. He's lightning fast, got a brilliant arm. But he's quick as a bowler. He bowls fast. He's got a great bouncer. His death bowling's as good as probably, well, if Bumrah is the best short form bowler in the world, then Jofra Archer at his best isn't far away because they've got a lot of the same attributes about them. They're good pace, they've got a good bouncer, they've got change up, and they bowl the most important overs. They normally bowl in the power play at the start and bowl the last over or two at the end. because they're so good at executing. So, yeah, I think that's a great sign for England. I actually think England won the last T20 World Cup. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about this World Cup because, you know, you got English players over here doing well. You've got South Africans over here doing well. West Indies, if they're fully fit, mate, they've got a very, very powerful T20 team. So, you know, I hope it's going to be a close World Cup. Aussies, well, mate, we always seem to find a way in World Cup. So we'd be disappointed if we're not semi-finals and final. We'd probably be disappointed. But I think that squad's strong. We just need some cricket under the belt of a few players, and I've got no doubt we'll probably see ourselves in another final.
NBA playoffs in full swing. Brad Rosen's next. How are you, Brad?
Good morning, boys. It's playoff times. Of course I'm good.
I am nervous as a Knicks fan about this game against Philadelphia today. Game 5 was one of the more unbelievable games you'll see, with Tyrese Maxey scoring 7 points off 2 possessions. Philadelphia $1.65, New York $2.30. The game's in Philly. I saw that I believe the Phillies executives and owners have purchased 2,000 tickets because they were worried about how many Knicks fans got down to the, well, I think it was the fourth game, wasn't it, last week or the other day. How do you see this game and this series playing out from here between Philadelphia and New York?
Well, first off, this is one of the best first round games, series I should say, I've seen. I am absolutely loving this series. Out of all of them, this is the pick for me. These two physically hate each other, and it's showing on the court. There's so much talk about how much they don't like each other, and it is ugly. I am loving New York. I love Jalen Brunson. I love what they're doing, and I think they'll get today's game. I think after the way they blew that game, what a series it's been. I mean, New York's blowing that game. Philly blew one earlier, not calling timeout, and this series has been unbelievable. But I do say New York to win today, even on the road, even in Philly, and they'll advance, and I think they'll play the Pacers in the next round.
Yeah, and Boston were able to get the job done now, Brad, so they can have a couple of days off.
Yeah, look, and so they should have. The Heat were undermanned, and you know, they lost that one game, which everyone was like, oh, boy. And when I was with you guys on Tuesday, I was like, these next few games are really important for Boston, not only for what they're telling their supporters and their team and everything, what they need to get done. And they did it well, so I'm looking forward to seeing them in the next round. They do face the Cavs or Magic, and I think the Cavs will get through that series. So I think they've got a nice run. It's, you know, they're not playing any of those powerhouse teams, and that's no disrespect to the others that are playing. They're just not at that level at the moment. So good wins for the Celts, but they'll be worried later on down the track.
Brad, did you see LeBron's press conference after the last Lakers game? Am I reading more into this, or could he be done at the Lakers?
Great call, Clarkie. I mean, this guy, it's like popcorn, isn't it? It's just such an entertainment thing. Wow. Look, I can't see him leaving the Lakers. I also can't see him leaving $60 million on the table to go somewhere else right now. So, look, anything could happen. If the trade came out that someone threw absolutely everything at the Lakers, they'd be crazy not to look at it, but it's not going to happen. The Lakers, I can't see LeBron leaving there. I don't think he wants to leave there. This is exactly the same as 12 months ago because they got knocked out the same way by Denver, and everyone's like, is this it? And look at the way he played this year. I don't see him retiring, and I know that's not what you're saying. You're saying, is he going somewhere else? I don't see him going anywhere. Mm. But this thing, it is a circus. You never know.
Out west at the moment with the Dallas Clippers series. So Dallas 3-2 up. The winner to play Josh Giddey's Oklahoma City Thunder, Brad. Dallas in 6, or are we going to game 7?
Yeah, Dallas in 6. I think the Clips have played as best as they can without Kawhi Leonard. They're just not the same team. And whilst they're playing okay, I think Dallas and Luka and the way that team is playing is really been amazing, and I see them going against the Thunder, which will be another great series if that happens as well, because you've got Dallas that like to roll the ball up the court, take their time and get in their sets against the Thunder that is just playing with pace and run and gun. So that'll be a really intriguing series as well.
Well, we've got two games on today, Brad. The first one starting at 8:30 this morning, Indiana taking on Milwaukee, and then at 11 o'clock, Philadelphia taking on New York. How do you see these games
playing.
Yeah, it's like a prelim for a heavyweight championship, isn't it? We're gonna get the lightweights first again. That's terrible to say to the Bucks and Pacers, but I'm just loving the Knicks and 76ers. Mate, I'm saying both series ends today. I'm saying the Pacers win and the Knicks win, and they both advance. I wouldn't mind, obviously. The best two words in American sport is Game 7, and you love that, but I just think Bucks, they've played as good as they can without Giannis, and the 76ers, I just don't think they're going to do it today for the Knicks.
Give us a series correct score, Brad, for the Denver-Minnesota series. Stretch the Nuggets, the defending NBA champions? How long does that series go, and who wins?
Oh, that's going seven. You know, that series is going to be absolutely amazing. Both teams are humming at the moment. You've got Minnesota that I don't think I've seen them as confident ever, even with the Garnett days. They are playing unbelievable. Anthony Edwards right now is probably the pick of the players in the NBA, the way he's playing. So he's going to lead that team, and I just see they don't want to lose this. Denver, they seem like they haven't even got out of first gear yet, and when they're down, and you saw that against the Lakers, they just find ways to win. So I just don't see a team winning two in a row. I just think it's going to go back and forward. And even if one steals it on the road, the other one will steal it on the road. So I just think that's going to be an awesome series. So hard to predict, but Game 7, I'm so hoping for that one.
Was it the Timberwolves coach who got injured?
Yes.
And will he be back on the court?
Well, we believe so. So, yeah, that's the one loss we were talking about on Tuesday when he did his patella and he got smacked by his own player, the poor bloke. So, look, he would have had surgery, and there's no way a coach is not going to coach that game. It'll be interesting to see, though, because they walk up and down and the sideline and, you know, go crazy. It'll be interesting to see how he physically does that. But, look, no doubt he'll be there and they would have had the surgery or whatever they've had to do, and he'll be fine and ready to go.
Just back home, Brad, free agency in the NBL and Southeast Melbourne. Have they got Derek Walton Jr.?
Brilliant. Brilliant signing. So for our Sydney Kings fans, they'll know him from two seasons ago when they won the championship. He was the point guard. He had 48 points versus Southeast Melbourne in a game down there. I think it was 48 or 45 or something like that. That is a fantastic pickup for them. He is an absolute winner. And, of course, he now joins Angus Glover and Jordan Hunter. So that's three Sydney Kings players that won a championship two seasons ago have gone down there. They've done a really good job, Southeast Melbourne, to retool. And don't forget, Nathan Sobey is there now as well. So really like what that club has done to recruit after what was a very poor season by them.
What do you reckon LeBron goes for his end-of-season trip? Well, Pop, I probably should ask you that.
Wherever he wants.
Novotel. Homebush. We've already had this conversation.
That's right. That was when Bronny was coming out. The Sun was coming out at one stage, wasn't it?
There was a little press release that he wanted to hang out with a superstar at the IPL, that Clarkie's coming back, I heard, so I'm not sure.
Oh, mate, get him over here. Why not? He'd fit in perfect over here.
On you, Brad. Have a great weekend, mate.
Gubbo's next.
Emu from Wente on the text line. Morning. What do you think of the 20K fine for Gus Gould? Surely he gets off the fine for speaking the truth. So, yes, Phil Gould has been fined $20,000, half of which is suspended for 2 years for describing as stupid the decision to disallow the Appy Coruscant try last weekend in the Tigers-Broncos game. Andrew Abdo reiterating in a statement from the NRL that registered officials can't make comments considered detrimental to the game or the NRL. I hate this, Loz. A lot of people agreed with Gus. He was working for Channel 9 on a show where he's got to give an opinion.
Yeah, I know that, but unfortunately, when you're working for a club as well, you come under the jurisdiction of a contract which says that you can't be critical. Ugh. So you've got to be careful. And he's been censured before, Gus, and he's been, fined $20,000 with half of that being suspended. I'm all for everyone having a strong opinion, but when you're part of an organisation, you've got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Even though you're working in the media, you have to be careful. If he said that and he wasn't employed by the Dogs, then everything's rosy. He can say what he wants. But there's a fine line there. Now, we don't necessarily agree with it, but they are the rules. And I think the fact that he pushed the boundaries a little bit last year
Right, so we're just going to enforce the rule now.
Well, what do you want them to
do?
Do you want all officials from all clubs just unloading on the NRL?
Well,
do you think that would be great for the
working
game?
But Gus works on a show. He was giving his opinion on a show for his employer, Channel 9, and I know he's got, and we can go through the whole game and find
with
multiple hats across podcasts, across shows.
Exactly right, yep.
And it wasn't a game where his club was involved as well. Reeks of a little bit of censorship for mine. Honestly, he's working on a show 100% footy, and it was about a refereeing decision that a lot of us were nodding our head and agreeing with as well. Yeah. And if we want to go and find across the game all the conflicts of interest...
Oh, I've got no doubt with that, Mido. There's a lot of conflicts in our game, and there's a lot of opinion in our game, and that's what drives it and makes it so good. But the rules are, you've got to be careful when you're employed by a club in whatever role you're speaking on behalf of, whether it's a media role or on behalf of the club, you've got to be careful of what you say about the game.
Was it even that bad, though?
Well, I think most people agreed.
So
I think most people agreed that the decision wasn't the right decision. I reckon if you asked, 100 people, 90 of them would have said, mate, that was an ordinary decision. But to the letter of the law, when you lose control of that football, you have to re-grip it before it goes to the ground. You just can't lose it, put your hand back on it and not grip it or have your, forearm touch the ball to the ground. So, look, I understand everyone's frustration with it, but you just got to be careful in what you say when you're involved with a club.
Pup, where are you, by the way? What city are we in?
Mm-hmm.
Punjab?
I'm in Mumbai.
Now,
I'm back in Mumbai. I've got game today, game Sunday, game Monday, fly home to you blokes Tuesday.
Oh, you're back with us,
Me home.
Wednesday, Thursday, eh? Next week.
I'm back Thursday, Friday. I land Wednesday afternoon, so Thursday I'm on Friday.
What's your first meal you're looking for when you land?
What's going on there with the pots and
mate, the
pans?
Kegs are rolling in, mate. Kegs.
Mate, seriously, keep it down, would ya?
It's a pub with no beer.
It's 2:30 in the morning and people are trying to sleep.
What's your first meal you're looking forward to having when you get home?
Do you know what? I think I picked my daughter up at 4 on Wednesday. I reckon we're doing Macca's. I actually feel like McDonald's laws.
Macca's?
Not a curry, put it that way. Yeah, I know. I'm all curried out.
Well, travel safe. You got your Tigers up against the Dogs tomorrow. Who wins that, Loz? You tipped the Dogs, didn't you?
Come on, the Tigers.
The way they're going at the moment.
I like the way the Dogs are playing at the moment. I think they can get the job done against the Tigers.
Are you worried about the Tigers?
I'm not worried. I don't think they'll win a lot of games this year, but from what I've seen so far, there's a bit of fight in them, and they're competitive. But as we've seen with teams over the years, they start the season full of emotion and energy. But then when they don't get the wins that they're after, they can fall away pretty quickly. So for the Tigers' sake, I think they need to win a couple of games in the next month.
They're $3 in this one tomorrow. It's the 3 o'clock game, and again, it'll be wet. At a core stadium, the Dogs $1.40, so maybe that's a leveller for the Tigers, plus 7.5 at the line, although, it was wet, wasn't it, when the Dogs played the Roosters that night a few weeks ago, and they were throwing the ball around, were up 26-0 at halftime.
The Dogs' attack has come a long way. At the start of the year, it just didn't look fluent, and their execution wasn't that great, and they really didn't threaten, but that has improved out of sight, and defensively they've improved. And we all knew that Cameron Seraldo was big with his defence and it just didn't work for them last year, but they look as though they've come to terms with the way that he wants to defend. Their line speed is a lot quicker. They push forward through the middle a lot better. They're hitting their targets and they're looking like a very good footy side at the moment.
Pup, go to bed.
I'm off to bed. Enjoy Wagga. I'm envious.
Great stuff.
Fix that, we'll catch, yours, Middo.
We'll catch you next week. Great stuff. Still to come on the show this morning, Adam Pengilly's just after the news, and he's written about the signing of Lewis Dodd. Interesting as well. We'll ask him about that. They probably like him right now, wouldn't they, at Souths, considering the injuries, well, to their halfbacks, Dean Hawkins last night, as well as Lachie Ilias now. Fraser Horton from Harvest Hotels, as they roll the kegs in here at the William Farrah, will join us as well in the next half hour. Phil Moss, Michael Maxworthy, Brody Nixon will give us some mail as well. And Yvonne Sampson from Fox League. Damien Cook after 8:30, after playing his 200th last night. After a tough week at the Bunnies, we'll have Cookie on this morning as well.